Welcome to the Momco Leader Podcast. We believe that life and leadership are better in community. We're here to equip and encourage you as a leader and mom. We'll talk about real issues and practical tools to help you grow in your leadership, motherhood, and faith. Welcome, everyone. I'm Andrea Fortenberry, and I am joined by my two amazing co-hosts, Jennifer Iverson and Sherry Crandall. And today we are answering the questions from the Say Yes to Awkward Leadership meeting plan that's available in our curriculum. And we're so excited to dive in to the questions. Are you guys ready?
I'm ready. Let's do this.
I feel like I was born awkward, so let's just go.
I'm super excited for this first question. So here it is. What is the most awkward thing you've ever done or that has ever happened to you?
Oh, man. I feel like I have a million that I could choose from. But I will tell you the first one that came to mind, and it's actually been a good lesson for me, is I was telling somebody, like a group of ladies, how I just didn't like this doctor. First of all, nobody asked me if I liked this doctor or not. We were just talking just in general, and I decided to offer this opinion only to find out later that the doctor was like the sister-in-law of one of the people I was talking to. And I'm like, well, if I would have just kept my mouth shut, I would have been just fine. Great.
Open mouth, insert foot.
Always.
Oh, goodness. I feel like I just have a lot. So same. But the thing I thought, okay, what's the first thing that came to my mind? It's when I was in college and I was a pre-med student. And one of the things we had to do was go to this the center and take blood pressure for the day. Well, unbeknownst to me, and remember, I'm like a young kid. I didn't know that one of the semi-professional football teams from Denver, at the time was the Denver Gold, they were coming to get their blood pressure checked by us. And I was so flustered by that because this guy was like talking to me and he was like, hey, and you know, actually almost like asking me out on a date sort of, but I'm trying to be super professional because we're getting like graded on our participation, right? So we sit down and I go ahead and I pump up the blood pressure cuff and I'm thinking that I can't hear anything. You guys, I didn't put the stethoscope actually on because it was just hanging down. And he looks at me and he goes, should you probably use that? And I was like, yes, I should. So then I took his blood pressure and I told him, and I was so embarrassed. I just tried to like hide. And it was just one of those awkward, like, you know, teenage kind of moments. And we have joked about it since then, because then one of my good friends ended up dating him later. Oh, and so I was like, I was the awkward girl trying to take your blood pressure without the stethoscope.
Oh, that's so funny. Well, when I looked at this question, it took me a few minutes, but then I feel like they all came at once. And I was thinking, which of these silly stories could I share? So in the meeting plan, if listeners have watched it, Mandy mentioned something funny that happens at a clothing store. And so that got me thinking about my awkward moment to share. It was probably about 7 years ago. I went to Kohl's to find a bathing suit and I found a really cute one. It was navy blue and it had like this white trim and it looked really cute. And when I picked it up off of the rack, it looked like a tankini. So I was like, perfect. And I went in the dressing room. My daughter was with me. She was like 7 or 8 at the time. So I took the top and put it over my head, thinking it was a tankini top, when in fact, it was a one-piece bathing suit. And I got stuck. My shoulders got stuck in the leg. And I literally was stuck, like I could not get out. And I was so thankful that Lila was with me because she had to help me pull it off. And I, could you imagine had I been there by myself?
Oh, girl.
And she was so little, you know, 7 or 8 years old. Like she was having a hard time getting the bathing suit from being stuck. So, yeah.
I just want our listeners to know, oh, I'm just crying. Because I can picture this. We do not like rehearse this or know what each other's going to say. So that is so funny. Oh my word.
Oh, as soon as she said, I went and tried on this bathing suit at Kohl's, like everything in me was like, oh no, oh no, here it comes.
I figured out it was a one piece and we got it off, I tried it on as a one piece and I loved it and I bought it. But I just,
I think we could do the whole episode on just awkward moments. Oh.
Awkward moments in the dressing room, no less. I mean, we could get more specific. I think, oh, golly,
Oh,
great,
buddy.
Andrea, that's great.
So, okay, let's get serious now.
Okay.
Next question. How can you put yourself in the path of inspiration? What creative thing should you try?
Oh. I
That's
will
a
say, I think one thing to be able to be creative, we're in a very busy time right now in our organization. And one thing I'm finding is it's really hard to be creative when you're busy. And so I think if you want to be able to put yourself in a place where you're going to find inspiration and find creativity, you have to create space for that. That doesn't happen in the in-between. And so that was one thing I thought of. Like, you have to actually allow space for that kind of thing.
That is true. I think it intentionality, right? Creating that space that has to be intentional for you to do that. And I had attended a conference a few years back, and many of you know who Jo Saxton is. She's a fantastic leader, and I had this opportunity to like have lunch with her. And I was saying that it's so hard to be creative when you have a really busy schedule. And she said to me, the intentionality, you have to make time for that, but you can't just all of a sudden wake up and go, I'm going to be creative today. You really, a lot of times, need to be inspired to be creative. And so she asked me, like, what do you enjoy looking at? Like, what inspires you? And I said, well, I'd love to be outside. I love to get outside, and I'm a huge gardener. I love to be in the garden, and like, I like to go to museums and see paintings. And she said, okay, so be intentional to do that. So if during your lunch break or on the weekend you're, and then what do you find that's beautiful? Write it down. And oftentimes, as we're like really focused on something beautiful, there is this like trigger of creativity in our brain and like in our heart, really, because God is creative. He's the great creator, right? So after that, I have tried really hard. When I'm feeling stuck or I need inspiration, that's usually when I'm like, I need to like walk in the garden, or I need to go outside, or to a park, or sometimes it's even watching those crazy National Geographics where they're like the birds are flying in and you see like the photography, every little feather. Like those things are inspiring to me and they do trigger a creativity. But if I don't make time, I end up just like falling into the trap of being busy.
For sure. I think for me, it's realizing the trade-off that there are things I spend my time on during the day that I could trade to put myself in that inspiration mode. It could be looking at my screen time and analyzing, oh, could I cut out half of my screen time and social media scrolling and spend that 15, 20 minutes, whatever that time is, on something that is inspiring and creative. And I was talking to my kids just last night, something that I enjoy doing, I've not made the time to do, but I want to do that going forward, is coloring. I love just getting out a coloring book and crayons or colored pencils or markers. I have it all. And my daughter said last night, she's like, you know, Mom, I've noticed you always love coloring. And when I was a little girl, if I didn't want to color with you, you would get sad. So I just thought that was interesting that she remembers that.
That's
Think that's great.
adorable. I think sometimes our planning minds, I think as moms and as leaders, we get very focused in this like planning. And like Sherry, you mentioned intentionality. We do have to be intentional about things. But sometimes some of the creativity comes in some of the spontaneity. And if we don't allow for, allow ourselves to indulge in some spontaneity, I think we miss things too. So I think that's, my husband is incredibly spontaneous, and it is incredibly infuriating when you're in planner. But I say that he has pulled me out of my comfort zone so many times with his, like, well, let's go do this today. And I also tell him he's exhausting sometimes, but that's a whole nother podcast. So.
I think I'm the exhausting one. I always love to do spur of the moment things. And I think it's kind of fun and it is creative. So I have more of a hard time staying on task. Not that either one of you are surprised by that because you work with me, but I can be super task oriented, but I would prefer, I've had to learn that skill, but I would prefer to be spontaneous. And I think if I don't get that opportunity, I do feel this like, oh, I'm not being creative. I don't get to, I like to just think and dream to not just do. I like to make space to think and dream.
I think when we have those moments of space, sometimes they're not convenient moments, right? Like we're driving, we're in the shower, and we get a creative idea. So I just try to accept, okay, here's my idea. I just need to capture it and write it down so that when I have time to sit and be creative, or when I am just aligning my schedule to do that, I have the idea waiting for me versus feeling frustrated of like, oh, I'm sitting, I don't feel creative. It's like, oh, I have this database of ideas. So that's just a little practice that I think can be really helpful.
I love that.
Let's see. Next question. What delightful thing can you do for someone in your group today? So for us, think about that. Who could we do something delightful for today? For me, I was thinking in my MomCo meetup, we have so many moms with babies right now. And actually, at our last meeting, I was looking at the sheet from my table, and it's just me and one other mom who have not been pregnant or had a baby this MomCo year. So we have lots of new babies. So I got to hold some. So I feel like I want to send a mom a gift card so that she can grab some dinner and not have to worry about it with her new baby and that transition.
I love
I
that.
love that.
That's there's something about a meal that is incredibly kind and thoughtful and like I see you because we all eat, right? Every day. And so to take somebody a meal, whether that's a gift card for food or actual food, it I think is brilliant. I think a kind word can go a long way, a kind, encouraging word. I mean, I think all day long we hear complaints about things or kids, work, neighbors, whatever, social media. And so I think a kind word can go a long way. So whether that's a text message or a phone call or a Marco Polo, or even snail mail. Like if you're thinking of somebody and you send them a snail mail and they don't get it for a few days, I think there's something encouraging about just a kind word. Like I see you, I thought of you, that kind of thing.
I am going to say a smile, looking someone in the eye and asking them, how are you? So I had the privilege this week of speaking to several groups, local MomCo meetups. And in one of the groups, I like to kind of go around and mingle with the tables before I, talk because I love, like, that's how we get to know, like, who really is our audience. And so I sat down at this table and there's a young mom with a newborn. And I just smiled at her and I looked her in the eye and I said, how are you? And she just started crying. And she said, I'm so sorry. I don't know why I'm crying. She said, yes, I do. No one's asked me how I am in so long. I'm not sure I know. And so I said, can I give you a hug? And she said, yes. So I gave her a hug. And I just realized, like, I've done that before, just even at the store when, with your cashier, just look them in the eye and smile and be like, "Hey, how are you?" And oftentimes people are like, "Great, thanks for asking." No one ever really asks.
Yeah.
And how often do we go about our days, especially as moms, when we're so busy taking care of, no one really says, "How are you?" So I've tried to make that more of a practice, like really asking, "How are you?" and then waiting for their response, not just like, "Hey, how are you?" and walk away, but like, "How are you?" and then giving them the opportunity to respond.
Yeah, I love that. A kind word and just allowing someone to feel seen can really just make a huge difference in their life. Yeah. Love that. Okay, next question. As we think about how to share about our relationship with Jesus with other people, what is one thing God has been doing in your life recently?
I think for me, it's a big, I'm learning a lot of lessons about trust and that I don't have to know all the details. I can just trust God for what's next. The other day I had probably five or six things that I was like, "Oh my word, we have this going on and this going on and this going on." And then news came in about something happening in 6 months, and it was just like, that was it. That was the last thing I could take. And I was like, "I can't do this anymore." And all of a sudden I was like, "Wait a second, that is 6 months from now. I don't have to figure it all out now. I can just let that one go and just focus on what I need to do right now and be obedient in this moment, not have to get all the details for everything in the future."
That's good. Sometimes we think we can't do it if we don't have all the details. And I think he's like, aha, I'm not going to give you all the details. I think how God is showing up in my life lately is he's putting me in these positions to talk to people. I sit on an airplane a lot and I kind of have to giggle sometimes who he puts next to me in the conversations that ensue. Now, sometimes, everybody puts in their earphones and off you go and you listen to your music. But recently, it just feels like I'm supposed to be sitting in that seat and to either be a good listener or really to listen to what they're saying that just was like an encouragement to me that I didn't even know I needed. So I'm really paying attention to who God's putting in my life, whether it's a business meeting, for the mom co, or whether it's just a casual, interaction with someone at a sporting event or a concert or on an airplane. I just think all of those interactions are intentional. And so I'm really trying to pay attention to who God is putting like in the seat next to me.
I love that because you just never know who needs you or if you need them in, even if it's a brief interaction, like an hour-long flight or what have you. I love that. I think mine is similar to what Jennifer shared about just trust, and my mind sometimes just goes forward so fast of like, how will we handle this? Or what if this happens? Or what does this look like? And I think part of it right now is my season. My daughter's learning how to drive and like we're doing college tours and all of that. And so God is just reminding me of one of our tenets actually from the Say Yes year of be here now. Like, yes, you need to be mindful of those things, but not consumed by those things. And I think I have a tendency to step over sometimes into being consumed, but I'm just trying to enjoy the season that we're in right now and to just be present in it to and to the goodness that's here. Because I think sometimes we just really miss out when we are so far forward or we get stuck in the past. It's like, now is really important. So let's be here and have open eyes to what's going on.
I loved what you just said of be mindful but not consumed. Because wow, was there a big difference in that, right? It's not, don't put your head in the sand and pretend it's not happening. That's not healthy. You do need to be mindful, but the second you flip that switch and let it overcome you all the time or overwhelm you, then that's probably, like you said, not a healthy place to be. I think our leaders struggle with that all the time, you know, with the details they're trying to put together as leaders, as moms. And so they get consumed or overwhelmed by those details instead of just being mindful of maybe something that could happen if it wasn't planned for. So that's a great encouragement.
Well, let's think about our answer to that question and then connect it to this next question, which is, how could we share what God is doing in our life with someone who doesn't know Jesus? How could we do that? I think for me, it's just sharing the struggle, right? Of acknowledging to other people that don't know Jesus, like, I struggle, I get worried, I sometimes don't trust, but here's what I know about God and how Jesus has changed my life and how he helps me when I'm worried. He comforts me. He gives me wisdom when I need to make decisions. So I think just really people relate to the struggle, and then we can share how God meets us in the struggle, and that makes all the difference.
I like how Andrea, you said too about, you know, focusing on right now and not necessarily worrying about the future. I use that often with our kids because very, very often you can talk to somebody else about kids because we all are worried about our kids and what their future is going to look like. And that doesn't feel too personal, like they can relate to something like that. And I often use the phrase of, I have to remember that God loves my kids more than I do, because it seems unfathomable sometimes because I know how much I love my kids. And so even just simple phrases like that, I think spur on conversation. Like, well, because I've had somebody say before, well, how do you know that? And so then to be able to continue the conversation. And for me, that relates the same way as trusting him. Like, I don't have to worry about that because I know God's going to give me what I need when I get to that point to be able to lean on him no matter what happens.
Absolutely. In my situation, being placed in these seats next to people, I just the other day I flew into Denver from Nashville, and I was really tired. I had been up since 4:30 that morning, and I could tell, you know, when you're falling asleep and you can kind of feel your mouth open and you're like, oh dear, but you're still going because you're just tired. So I slept for a while, and then when I woke up, the lady next to me, she took her earbuds out and we started talking. And before you know it, she was sharing with me the story that her daughter had fallen off a horse and had a brain bleed. And like she was just really struggling with everything. And I said, oh my goodness, you know, I'm so sorry. And then she wanted to show me pictures. Like it went really from like 0 to 100 very quickly. And I just felt like God telling me, like, just show up for her, right? And so we just started talking, and I said, you know, what is your daughter's name? I would love to pray for her. And she said, yeah, I am not really a praying person. And she shared some really hurtful things that had happened as a child about church. And so it just kind of snowballed from there. And I just felt the open door to say, you know, I'm sorry for the hurt that you experienced at church, but, you know, there's also something like a relationship with God that doesn't have to be inside the church. And so she said, well, are you like a minister or something? And so I got to share with her what I did. And she goes, wait a minute, because I used the word Momco. And she said, wait a minute, is that mops thing? And I said, it is. And she said, well, my neighbor has invited me. Maybe I should go. And I just was like, I had goosebumps, you know, up and down my arms. And I think sometimes it requires, I would say, like a quiet boldness, like a soft boldness. Like the last thing she needed to hear from me is like, you need Jesus, and, you know, go on and on. Like, would never approach it that way. But the door was open for me to say, I could pray for you. No one's ever turned down prayer when I've offered it, thankfully. However, it was also a soft boldness in that I was like, oh, you would find amazing community. I'm sure your neighbor is very sincere in that invitation. And with everything that you're going on right now, you could be surrounded by women who would really love you and help you. And because I'm confident in saying that, because I know that our communities around the world love and help women. And so I think sometimes just being willing to, when you feel or sense that God's opening that door, be willing to step in it and say something about him, because it's your opportunity to say you're not alone or he can help you, even with someone who's doubting. I think there's always an open door. And so just trying to be very obedient to that, I think.
I love that phrase, softly bold, too. That's beautiful because it's not a let me beat you over the head with Jesus kind of thing. It is just talking, being bold to talk about what Jesus has done in your life or what Jesus can offer, but in a very gentle manner. So I love that.
And I was thinking it goes back to the questions we're answering from say yes to awkward leadership, is that sometimes it may feel awkward to interject or to ask someone, how can I pray for you? But I think that temporary feeling of awkwardness is worth what could be on the other side, the life change that we can offer to somebody by telling them about Jesus or by telling them about MomCo and inviting them to join us. So I think that's just a great reminder to all of us and to our leaders, is that sometimes it feels awkward to make that ask or to share, but we just never know what God will do with it.
Absolutely. I really believe in I think my younger version of myself would feel like I had to like really help and provide the answer. And I see myself now more as like the seed planter. Like I just have to be faithful in it and then trust God when he will, if you're using that analogy, when he will water it, when it will grow, and actually even when it would blossom has nothing to do with me. But if I just held those seeds in my hand, they would never get planted. So I just feel like we have to be open to like throwing out the seeds and then trusting God to do the work of it.
I think there's such relief and comfort in that it doesn't all depend on us to grow it. It just, we do our part by planting it. And I think about that and how it applies with our kids too. Like, we put so much pressure on ourselves as moms to make sure our kids turn out a certain way, but is that really our job? Our job is to plant the seeds and water them, and God's the one who grows our kids and will do work in their lives that we can't always control. So good reminder. Well, you guys, thank you so much. This was great conversation today. We had some good laughs and some good honest sharing. So thank you. And leaders, we know your time is valuable. We're proud of you for investing in yourself by listening in today. We know that when you invest in moms, you change the world. We believe in you, and we're cheering for you.